Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about the show and to listen to past shows, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And now here's your host of the NHSCA Sports Hour, Jeff Fisher.
Good evening, high school sports fans, and welcome to the NHSCA Sports Hour for October the 20th. I am Jeff Fisher, founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America. Settling back in for 2 hours worth of high school sports talk right here on the Artist First Radio Network tonight. After we wrap up here on the NHSCA Sports Hour, we move directly into High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Good show coming up on High School Football America with several great coaches from around the country. Plus, maybe the top running back in America. Now, here's tonight's NHSCA Sports Hour lineup. We'll start things off with Sue Butt-Staven, the head field hockey coach at Emmaus High School in Pennsylvania. Sue, one of the sport's legendary coaches with over 700 wins and 10 state championships. We'll also take a look at some cross-country tonight. There's a new number one by XC Nation. We'll tell you about that. Our final interview will be with Byron Jensen from the High School Rudy Awards. The nomination period closing out next Wednesday, October the 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Byron going to join me to talk about some of this year's incredible nominees and also let you know how coaches can nominate their players between now and next Wednesday when the nomination period closes out. Want to remind everyone to go to the NHSCA.com website to check on the October nominees for the GTM Sportswear NHSCA Athlete of the Month Award. Six nominees up for voting this month. You can go to NHSCA.com to cast your vote, let you know who the six are, and you can go to the website to read all of their bios. We've got three football players, then we've got a cross-country person, a volleyball person, and a golfer. We'll start things off. Beth Cecil, a senior girls volleyball player from Bethlehem High School in Kentucky, is up for nomination this month. Edward Cheserek, a junior cross-country runner from St. Benedict's Prep in New Jersey, he's there for your voting pleasure. Jake Mulhart, a senior wide receiver at the Camarillo High School football team in California there, along with Maddie Mock. Maddie Mock was on our High School Football America show at the beginning of the year. Maddie, when all is said and done, barring an injury, will become America's number one passer, passing his brother, who will then fall to number two. His brother's name was Ben Mock. We also have Baker Mayfield for your consideration this month, the junior running back from Lake Travis High School in Austin, Texas, and Emma Talley, a senior golfer at Caldwell County High School in Kentucky. Go to the website. As I said, you can read everyone's bio and then cast your vote. Time to thank our sponsors for tonight's show. Cross Country Nation along for the ride. That's xcnation.com. Again, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about the new number one in boys cross country. Also sponsoring tonight's show, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, and Dollemuir and All-American Wrestling Supply. Time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to kick the show off with a little chat about girls field hockey. Going to speak with the legendary Sue Butt-Staven from Emmaus High School in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. 700-plus wins heading toward 810 state championships. Sue Butt-Staven when we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to head to Texas and talk with Justin Leonard. He is the head boys cross country coach at South Lake Carroll High School. They are number one in the nation. But right now, time to talk a little girls field hockey. And this woman that we're going to bring in here in a little bit is one of my favorites from back in the day when I worked in the Lehigh Valley. She is the head coach for the past 36 years for one of the top programs in the country, the Emmaus Green Hornets. And Sue Butt-Staven has won over 700 games in her career, and she's here now to talk about that career and this wonderful program that she's built. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. And Emmaus High School is located in the eastern part of Pennsylvania, about 60 miles northwest of Philadelphia. We're a suburban school just south of Allentown, and it used to be a small farm community, and now we've grown tremendously. From being a single-A school, now we're up to a quad-A school. We have over 9th through 12th grade, over 4,000 high school students, and our graduating classes are in the 700 range. So we've grown tremendously in the last 10 years, and of course now we have the more opportunity for more young ladies to participate in interscholastic sports.
Well, you know, growing up in Easton, about 20-25 miles away, you're right describing it as farm country. I remember when we used to go up there, that's what we said, we're going to the farm country there. So let's talk a little bit about the program itself and the building of this program. Again, you don't win 700 games by accident. So, you know, take us back to the early days when you began there. Obviously, girls' athletics have come a long way. What was it like at the beginning, in your recollection, to start building this program?
Well, I took over the reins in 1976, and prior to that, field hockey began its interscholastic competition in 1960, and Ginny Huber was the original coach and the only other coach that coached field hockey at Emmaus High School. She had a tremendous record there. She took Emmaus to the first state championship finals, and they lost in penetration time. So when I took over the program, there was already a rich tradition that we kind of maintained through this whole program. I thought that it was important at that time to do that. So whatever that she instilled in these young ladies, we tried to keep that going in the right direction, even through modern time. So a lot of things, we talk about the tradition, about the honor to play for Emmaus High School, the type of athletes that we do come out for the program, and that their commitment and the sacrifices they have to make to be part of the team. And it sacrifices not only, you know, for the individual, their time, but also for their parents, their commitment too. And it's been tremendous. And we have a, you know, very strong program and a very strong following.
And I'm not trying to flatter you here, but obviously you've taken it to the next level. But it has to have something to do with the girls, the young ladies in the community and all that. I mean, before you, like you said, they were successful. What do you think it is about Emmaus and the surrounding community that goes into the school district that it has made these young ladies so good at this sport?
I think the rich tradition, the parents want to be part of that, and I think the young ladies growing up have a dream of being part of the Emmaus field hockey team. We have established a great youth program and a middle school program that goes hand in hand, and I believe that with the ability of an entranceway to a college has helped enrich this program also. We've had over hundreds of young ladies go on to play at Division I, Division II, and Division III schools. And if they have a great, they do very well in the classroom, it gives them an entranceway to their school of choice. And, you know, I'm really happy that we're able to take these girls into their next level of their life and move on and to be able to get a good educational background for their professional life.
Now, and I know that's one of the things when I used to live back there, I knew the signing days were very, very big for you and very, very proud for all the athletic programs been there, but I know that's very important to you. Let's talk a little bit about the program right now as it stands, undefeated. Before we started rolling the tape here, we started talking about the fact that you're playing for a league championship tonight, nothing new to you, but tell me a little bit about this year's team, and let's name by name, you know, some of the players that are key to your success. This season?
Well, this year we have eight seniors on our team, and out of the eight, seven are starting. Unfortunately, the one senior tore ACL back in the lacrosse season, and she's unable to participate this year, but she comes to practice every day. And I think the team unity that is instilled by the senior class has made us very successful this year. It's all about the team. It's all about team unity. They're very unselfish, even though, you know, the seniors basically, do carry most of the weight on the team. But we also have four juniors that also start with those seven. And one of our, we wanted to, in our program this year, is not to just have one mainstay in our offense. We wanted to create that we had multiple people scoring at all times. And so we're very fortunate that we have about six young ladies that are in double figures at this time of the season, being 19-0. And our defense has held up tremendously, although in the past three games we've given up a single goal. But we're doing, I think, very well in the midfield, and our senior leadership, Caitlin Bryan, is our high scorer at the moment, and followed by Lena Phillips and Allison Michelson. So then we're getting some great support from our midfield coming up also to shoot, Zoe Pacheco and Sarah Kazmersky and Jess Unger. But our defensive core with Allison Hawes, Jenna Green, and Gabby Viciosis have really maintained the control in the midfield. That's between the 225s, not putting too much pressure on our goalkeeper, Meg Mitchell. But we're not allowing our opponents to attack our red zone. And so we've done an outstanding job. We play a diamond formation in all parts of the field. So we have support in the high position, left and right and back.
So let's talk a little bit about the pressure of being you know, an Emmaus Field hockey player. Again, this year you're undefeated, all of these wins, all of the state championships. What are some of the kind of pearls, the wisdom that you give these young ladies about, you know, going into a season each and every year with kind of having that target? Because, you know, if somebody beats Emmaus, that makes somebody's season. So as a coach, how do you deal with the kids and keeping that pressure off of them?
Well, we approach things with games that it's every time they play Emmaus, it's another team's Super Bowl. And even if a team scores on this, it's a highlight of their season. But we try to prepare our young ladies from the beginning in our preseason. If you prepare properly, you'll be successful on the field. And so we like try to break it down, the physical components, the fundamentals of skills, the repetition and execution, and team tactics with the psychological implications that go along throughout the season. Yes, and you talk about, is there pressure? Well, the pressure you create by yourself. And what's the difference if you're playing a weaker component versus a team that's more successful? You still have to be competitive, and you still have to be able to, your fundamentals need to appear in every game and being able to execute. And I think pressure is self-created. You get a lot of hype. You just have to, you have to stay in the moment and play in the game. You got 60 minutes, and try to stay focused and concentrate on what's at hand.
And it's been about probably 11 or 12 years since I've actually viewed one of your practices, but I know you're a very hands-on coach, so your kids kind of learn from that example. How, after 36 years, do you keep your edge of always being involved and so intense when it comes to practicing games?
I love coaching, and it's great to be, you know, refreshed with individuals, and, you know, each coming class, they keep you young. I try to instill in them execution of fundamental skills. I try to use the old KISS, keep it simple, stupid, and try not to, to get too elaborate in some of your skills. Some kids like to be more sensational. Let's stick to the basics, and I think your basic skills take you a long way. And that's something that I've instilled, you know, over all my tenure at EMAS. We still look also at our personnel, and we will arrange our personnel to the formation that we have to use on the field. And, of course, whatever our opponents give us, we have to have a counter action. Like tonight, we have a young lady that we're going to face that has extremely very, very fast, and we have to change some players up in our formation to match up with their strengths. And she happens to be the high scorer for Whitehall, which is Kayla Cunningham. She's over 30 goals, but she's extremely quick, and she's a good ball handler. So we have to match up foot speed to foot speed to be able to deny her scoring opportunities.
Talking with Sue Butz-Staven, the head coach of the Emmaus field hockey team, truly one of the great field hockey coaches in America, on the NHSCA Sports Hour tonight. Let's talk a little bit about the health of the sport. Obviously, the sport is not played in every state around the nation, but in your neck of the woods in the Northeast area, very strong. Pennsylvania's got a great state. Let's talk about the health of the sport. How do you feel things are doing right now? I know there was a study that was released about a month ago, I guess, by the National Federation that numbers are up on girls' field hockey. What's your take on it all right now?
Well, I think, yes, overall in the country, little by little, we're picking up little pockets of field hockey has grown. We see a little bit of field hockey growing in the western part of Pennsylvania, in Ohio, down in Missouri. There's some teams that are starting out in Florida. I think we've been able to maintain our level in Pennsylvania. It is the largest participating state, even though majority of the field hockey is on the eastern part of Pennsylvania. It should be interesting to see next year soccer in the state of Pennsylvania will be totally in fall, and the impact that it might have on the AA schools where most girls play field hockey and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And to see if those programs are going to be able to maintain the numbers to have participants, and also the use of fields. I mean, we're all financially in all the school districts, we're limited to the field space that we have, and we're not sure that, I mean, with the financial situation, we're not going to see fields built to be able to be used. So, like in our particular situation, we do have a multi-turf field that we are now going to have to share, and three teams have to practice on that. So we rotate on the 2 hours. It's 3 to 5, 5 to 7, 7 to 9. It makes for late nights for the athletes. And it's tough. Even when we go out and play, you're not getting home until 9:30, quarter 10, and our school day starts at 7:15 in the morning. So it's a long day for a student athlete. But I think overall, in the United States, the club teams are getting bigger, and field hockey is growing because you can participate in field hockey, indoor field hockey. U.S. field hockey has done a great job of the growth in numbers that's happening out there.
Let's kind of step back to into the program itself. You've had, an Olympian or two. I mean, how many Olympians have you had come out of your program?
I've had one Olympian.
Just one.
And that was, yes, that was Cindy Worley, and she played in 96. But we've had quite a few national players. We never were successful to enter the Olympics due to whether it was, you know, the Russian days or in recent history, the U.S. hasn't qualified to play. So right now they're down in the Pan Am Games, and they need to win the tournament to get a bid to be in the Olympics in Britain in 2012. So the competition is pretty fierce. And so So when we talk about Olympians, but we do have national team players. Kristen McCann played on the national team. She gave it an 8-year stint trying to make it into the Olympics, and she's moved on in her life now. She's got married, has a little girl. So that's where it becomes a little bit tough, because you put your professional life on hold to train. And you don't have any money income coming in either. So
it truly is, yeah. It's the real way Olympics used to be, not the not some of these major sports where basically you're a professional now at this point. But I thought Kristen had actually made the Olympics. That's why I was a little confused there. So she would have been your second one then. But
right now.
Obviously, that's a highlight to have someone make the Olympic team and obviously the national team. Is it a fair question to ask you that is there a favorite team that you've had over the course of the years? I don't want to go into players because that's really unfair, but can you kind of characterize maybe a couple of the teams that you've really been, you know, they put a smile on your face when you think back to them?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to the 91 and 92 seasons where we went. 91 was our first state championship, and we came back and we repeated in 92. And that was the group, you know, we finally in 91 got over the hurdle, won the state semifinals to move into the finals, and it was like a breath of fresh air. We're finally there after all these years. And so I'd have to say, you know, those 2 years in particular, and we've had some, you know, great seasons, you know, in between. And last year was a sensational year for having the team, again, that we didn't have. We had, I would say, one particular core player that stood out, but we were surrounded by a lot of great players and stuck with our tactics throughout the season, and that we were successful on the field. We weren't like a standout team, but we were a very good team in the sense of team unity, and it was a lot of fun.
Let's kind of finish with the question that I think I know the answer to, well, at least half of it. Obviously, fun is important to you. Winning is important, you know, teaching these young women, you know, more than just field hockey and getting them into college. So what keeps you in it, and how much longer can you go?
I just enjoy coaching. I mean, I've retired from teaching, and this is my first season of just coaching, going into the school. I miss being with the individuals during their school day, because I would spend quite a bit of time with during their them. I got to know them on a personal side. We would also look over game films together. Component this year, not being in the building on a full day, seeing what they're doing, but yet I still have a good relationship with them, especially the juniors and seniors. I haven't really gotten to know the freshmen. I have the upper class, but I've also known these girls for a long time because I start coaching them in the indoor season when they're in sixth grade. So I have a long lifeline with them over, you know, a 6-year period before they graduate. And it's always, I get to know them a little bit better. It helps me with my coaching on how to, if I need to criticize them or giving some coaching accolades, you know which buttons to push.
Well, you've done the button pushing very, very well for 36 years and 700 plus victories. I guess 800 is now in your gun sights, and that'll be my last question as I let you go here. Milestones like that, state championships. I know you're going to be very humble about it, but where do they stack up in the grand scheme of things after 36 years for you?
Well, we have 10 state championships and 22 District 11 straight championships, plus 24 overall in the district, or 25, something like that. But and if I continue to coach, maybe next year I might hit the 800 mark, which is, you know, great. But I think I've been blessed with the great athletes, a great support staff, my family, my husband. And it all kind of has a combination to our success and my love to coach. And I think as long as everything continues on that even keel, I don't have a day of or a year that I could give you that my coaching career will come to an end.
Well, I didn't ask you to look into the crystal ball.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is earlier this year I spoke with a gentleman in South Carolina. His name is John McKissick. He's America's winningest high school football coach with 586 victories, and he turned 85 this year and isn't slowing down. So you got a ways to go to top that record.
Right, and I did see there was a clip on the TV on that, and that was very nice to see.
Yeah, it's to me, that's the kind of the key to high school athletics now. I mean, it's becoming a younger person's game as far as the coaching, but the people like yourself and John and a lot of other individuals around the country that have been doing it for decades and making impacts on lives, that's really where it's at. So, Sue, I really appreciate you taking the time to explain a little bit about Emmaus Field Hockey, and I'm not just saying this, you truly are one of the great coaches in the country. I've witnessed you personally, and I've appreciated it. Missed it's been 10 years, but I miss you. But best of luck this year.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, and good luck, and we hope to be talking to you soon.
Great. Congratulations, and good luck tonight against Whitehall.
Thank you.
That was Sue Butz-Staven of the Emmaus Field Hockey, and she has just created a real dynasty there and done a great job. If you missed any of this interview, it will be up in our archives later on next week. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to go to Texas, and we're going to talk with Justin Leonard, the head coach of the cross-country team at South Lake Carroll. They're number one in the country right now. That and more when we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artists First Radio Network.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report, and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour. We were supposed to have Justin Leonard on the show tonight, head coach at South Lake Carroll High School in Texas. He's the boys cross country coach there, and we're going to talk about what a great weekend they had that has resulted in a pretty significant change in the national rankings. We will have Coach Leonard on next week's show. Next Thursday's show will be the October 27th show, but basically what happened last weekend at the Arkansas Chili Pepper Festival, the team averaged 15 minutes, 14.68 seconds for 5,000 meters with all seven runners under 15 minutes and 40 seconds. And this has never occurred before in the sports, and that's according to XC Nation's David and Aaron Taylor. They've been back and forth with me all week letting me know about this great thing that happened last weekend. The South Lake Carroll team went from number four in the rankings all the way up to number one this weekend, and right now that performance last week is number three all time behind the 1980 national championship team in Bloomington, Indiana. That was the Bloomington North High School team that holds the record at 15 minutes 12.68 seconds. That was in the state championships in 1980, and then the number two on the list is last year's defending boys champ, and we talked to Aaron about this last week. Arcadia is second on that list when they won the California State Championships last year with a run of 15 minutes, 14.20 seconds as an average there. And just an incredible thing last week for South Lake Carroll. They scored 22 points against 60 teams. Get this, they defeated the second-place team by over 133 points. Again, go to xcnation.com to check out the latest rankings. We'll give you the top five right now. So South Lake Carroll, the Dragons, and the new number number one, surpassing last year's national champs. They fall to number two. That's Arcadia. Bismarck from North Dakota, Bismarck High School, holds at number three. Christian Brothers at number four. And Davis from Utah checks in at number five on the boys' side. On the girls' side, Fayetteville, Manlius from New York. They are still number one and going strong. Carmel from Indiana is number two. Saratoga Springs from New York, number three. La Costa Canyon, California, number four. And Tatnall, Delaware, number five. So again, next week, tune in to NHSCA Sports Hour for a nice chat with the record-breaking performance of South Lake Carroll, and we will have Justin Leonard on for that. Again, go to xcnation.com to learn all you need to know about cross-country in America. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the High School Rudy Awards, another partner with us here on the NHSCA. Nominations closing out for this year's awards. Lots of scholarship dollars up for grabs, $25,000 in scholarships to be exact. We will talk with Byron Jensen when we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network. I've already been to Pennsylvania to talk with Sue Butt-Staven, the head coach. 36 years, 700 victories of the Emmaus field hockey team, one of the true dynasties in high school athletics. And now we're going to venture our way out to Oregon to talk with the gentleman who's been on the show before, a good friend and a partner with the NHSCA. His name is Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards, and he's talking tonight about we're getting close to the end of nominations. So welcome to the show, Byron.
Well, it's great to be here. You're absolutely right, Jeff. We got about another week until the close of nominations, so we're excited.
Well, let's last week on High School Football America, which comes on right after this show, we talked with Ryan Anderson at Roosevelt High School in Kent, Ohio, a young man who up until April the 4th of this year was expected to be one of the top recruits, an offensive lineman, a big hulking kid at 325 pounds, and diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, which ended his football career, but now he's inspiring others. He's still out on the football field with his team. Just some wonderful things going on in Ryan's life. So these are the type of stories that that the High School Rudy Awards are trying to get at. So let's kind of, for the people that haven't heard the spiel already, what are the High School Rudy Awards, and who are you looking for to feature?
Well, the High School Rudy Awards are a celebration of inspirational athletes playing high school football across the country, male, female. We've got a couple female nominees. And it's just a way for us to celebrate these young men and women. And a lot of times, Jeff, they're not the person that's going to be playing a lot out there. They maybe play four or five downs, but they are an integral part of the team. And we're just thrilled that we've done this. And again, now in our third year, to be able to find some of these kids. Ryan Anderson's a great example. I mean, talk about a kid that had scholarship offers on the table and was a legitimate Division I prospect. And to be diagnosed with this, and I think the thing that's impressive specifically about him is how he carries himself now that he has been diagnosed, and what an uplifting spirit he's got, which makes everybody else feel better. So just great stuff that's going on out there, and we're happy to be doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week when we had Ryan on the show, he had literally been rushed to the hospital for a blood transfusion and got on the phone and wanted to kind of spread the word and say, hey, it's not about me. It's about fighting cancer and all that. I mean, what a champion for carrying that flag in some tough instances as a 17-year-old. We then went on and read a lot of last week's nominees, some of the highlighted ones on High School Football America, at least. And all of them are just so amazing, and that's why I applaud what you guys are doing to kind of bring the spotlight to them. But anyone, again, I don't want to put you on the spot because obviously this is not about you selecting someone, but what are some of the stories that have caught your fancy? And in real honesty, you know, I had a tear in my eye speaking to Ryan last week, and I think that's what a lot of these stories do.
Well, there's no question about that. We have a lady here in our office that if she's crying, we know, you know, there's something that's clearly emotional. But there have been a few that have come in the last week or the last couple of weeks. The first one that comes to mind is a young man named James Manning from Kansas. And the kid is just, he's doing everything in his community. He's an Eagle Scout, an honor roll student, member of the Future Farmers of America. And then, you know, he's doing all these great things in his community, volunteering for local food drives and tornado relief efforts, and has the unfortunate news, a little bit similar to Ryan, and gets diagnosed with testicular cancer last year, in July of last year, and just continues to fight and battle and comes back, and he's playing again, and he hasn't let that stop him. And it's not so much the you know, clearly it's being diagnosed with that, but it's also about what this kid is doing in his community, like I said, with all those things, and just being able to carry on. Really impressed by him. There's a young man down in Florida. His name is Desmond Patterson, and just a great kid and a great family. Sounds like he's just had a really good upbringing with his mom, a single mom that has had to look after him and Desmond's two brothers or two siblings. I'm not sure if they're brothers. And then mom is also cares for 9 foster children. Hmm. And so here's a single mom. Dad's not in the picture. Taking care of 12 kids and Desmond, and having to take on more of a role with his younger siblings, and just a phenomenal story. He's got a great story on his page on our site about the importance of academics and community efforts and things like that. And it's just, we're honored to be able to read these stories and to highlight these kids. And you know, ultimately and eventually someone's going to, or 12 kids will get varying amounts of scholarships, but it's these kinds of kids and these stories that are so uplifting to hear what people are doing out there in the community, and these kids specifically. We're just thrilled.
The nominations close next Wednesday, October the 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. You can go to the website, highschoolrudyawards.com, to learn more. But with the time ticking down here, Byron, what's the best way for our listeners, whether you're a coach or whether you're a fan and you want to nominate someone, what's the best way to get this done between now and the next 6 days?
Yep, well, there's going to be two parts to it. First is going to our website, highschoolrudyawards.com. There's a button right there on the homepage where you can click on and nominate somebody. And then once that process has gone through and you filled out a couple of things to highlight to someone in your area that's an inspiration, and then it's about getting them approved and on our site with parents' approval and things of that nature. And that's going to be the easiest way to do it, and they'll have their own profile page on our site and get put up against some other great kids.
This is just a great program. Scholarships to be awarded at the end here of the process. So let's kind of take the listeners through the process. Once the nominations close next Wednesday, what happens next?
Yep, we're going to review all the nominees that are on the website, and then we will cast our votes for the top 50, which we will announce on November 1st. And then once we've reached that stage, the 50 semifinalists, we will then ultimately make one more kind of narrowing down, if you will, and when we announce the 12 finalists the first part of December. And then from there, it gets turned over to our national selection committee, Drew Bledsoe, Troy Aikman, Teddy Bruschi, Sean Alexander, guys like that, Andrea Kramer, and then they will cast their votes for who they believe to be the most inspirational athletes, and we will make that announcement in the middle of January. Can't wait. I can't believe it. It seems like it's far away, but it's really not. I'm excited.
and then America gets involved with it. Again, you've got a great selection committee there, but so once that takes place, how does America get involved with the High School Rudy Awards then?
Sure. They can vote as often as they like. I can't tell you the number of people that come in to vote for their favorite nominee, whether it be in Texas or Arizona or wherever, and end up staying on the site and voting for other kids because of their stories. So go to your favorite nominee's page, cast your vote as often as you like, and that is going to factor into the decision when we get to the top 50 and into the top 12. But it's about reading inspirational stories and watching great videos and voting for your favorite nominees.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to spend a good amount of time on this website, because again, if you're one of those people that's always negative, saying there's nothing good coming out of young men and women in America, read some of these stories. They will certainly take you to the point where you understand that there's a lot of wonderful things going on. Again, we've talked about it on the show before. I think the last time we talked about the high school awards here on the NHSCA Sports Hour was back in March, and I always like to point to Chance Anthony as one of the true great kids that I've talked to over the course of the last year. Breckenridge County High School in Kentucky, he was the award winner last year or this year. I don't know how you want to do it. I mean, it was announced in February, but here's a young man who played football and basketball, was born without the lower part of his right arm, and wasn't just a kid, like you said, that plays a couple of plays. He was a starter both ways on football. So tell the audience here a little bit. I know we've done this before, but to kind of tout what Chance Anthony did last year.
Well, just a phenomenal kid. You know, just never was going to be disallowed to play because of missing the lower half of his arm, and ends up starting both ways for his high school football team. Wide receiver, and I think maybe a linebacker, and things of that nature, catching a couple touchdown passes in his homecoming game. And the young man, a great family again. His father, I believe, is the sheriff there in town in Breckenridge County, and so he wants to go into law enforcement and is studying that now at Eastern Kentucky University. And just a kid that gets it and is switched on, and he's going to be a difference maker for us, because you're absolutely right, Jeff. That kid is special. We couldn't be more proud to have him win it last year, for not only for what he's doing on the field, but off.
Yeah, if you go back into the NHSCA Sports Hour archives, you can listen to that interview with Chance. That was back earlier this year. I believe it was right at the second week of February, but I'll put that up on our blog to let you know how you can link up to that, and you'll see what a fine young man he is. Want to congratulate you, too, since the last time we talked on the air. You guys, you've launched the Inspirium Soccer Awards. You've now got a partnership with Parade, so let's kind of break those two out. Tell me a little bit about the relationship with Parade Magazine.
Well, they've been just a great partner with us and for us and doing a couple of things that are specific to the Rudy Awards. You know, they've had their All-America, Parade All-America teams that they've done for 50-plus years, and just couldn't be happier that we got this partnership with them, and they're taking a little bit different slant with it in that they're going to continue to do the Parade, the All-America team, but also going to highlight some of these inspirational athletes through the high school football Rudy Award. They've been great in terms of publications and putting us in their book in the Sunday piece and Parade and the inserts and all the newspapers across the country. It's just been fantastic in terms of creating awareness about the awards. So very happy about that. The Inspirium Soccer Awards, again, are moving along very well. They're in their first year. Great selection committee there with Steve Sampson, chairman, former LA Galaxy head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, Jim Thompson, founder and executive director of the Positive Coaching Alliance. So the soccer awards unto itself are going along very well. Some incredible athletes and incredible stories of kids playing soccer across the country as well. So very happy about that.
Just very happy to be associated with your organization, Byron. You guys, and I'm not just saying this, you guys do a wonderful job of putting that spotlight on some very deserving young men and young women out there. So keep up the good work. Again, let's repeat before we send you off here, the nominees. When does it all close?
Yep, the High School Football Rudy Awards close on October 26th. The Inspirium Soccer Awards close for nominations on November 9th. And would love to have some more nominees. And thank you for all you do, Jeff. We're excited to partner with you as well.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor. So look forward to hearing more over the coming weeks as we whittle down the field and get to that big winner. But thanks for everything. And if people want to learn more, again, go to highschoolrudyawards.com. Byron, best of luck between now and next Wednesday. Get those boxes of tissues ready, because I'm sure there's some more inspirationals coming.
Oh, I'm ready, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
All right, take care. Going to take a break, and when
Thanks,
we come, you're welcome. Going to take a break. When we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour, going to take a look at some of the things going on within the organization. That and more. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat, issues, personalities, and controversies from the dark side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another Dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
How can we help prepare our kids for the future? Hi, this is Martina McBride. These days, our children face challenges unimaginable to us just a generation ago. We adults need to help our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest and keeps them involved. If that something happens to be music, the child will benefit in so many ways. Playing music in school is a great way to make new friends. Studies are showing that kids involved in school music are less likely to get into trouble. And kids who studied music tend to find science and math concepts easier to grasp. They even score higher on the SAT. It has to do with the development of something called spatial IQ. So get your kids involved with school music. It's a great way to help prepare them for life.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. March is Music in Our Schools Month. Music, part of a sound education.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour here on the Artist First Radio Network. Going to wrap things up tonight with just a quick reminder that our Athlete of the Month voting is underway. Just a couple more days available to vote. I want to congratulate the September Athlete of the Month, Garrick Dieter, who was a great football player at Washington High School in South Bend, Indiana, named after his father's favorite baseball player, Lou Gehrig. And he was the GTM Sportswear Athlete of the Month for last month, and there's six nominees up there for that. I want to remind you, great chat. If you didn't hear it, please go to our archives later on this week to listen to Byron Jensen talk about the High School Rudy Awards and the nominees. They will close out nominations coming up next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So that's October the 26th. So make sure you go to highschoolrudyawards.com to learn more about how you can nominate a player. I want to thank our guest on tonight's show, Sue Butz-Staven, the legendary coach at Emmaus High School. 700-plus wins and going strong after 10 state championships, and I don't think Sue will ever step aside. She's one of those ones that will continue to coach for many years to come. Again, I want to thank Byron Jensen from the High School Rudy Awards. And a reminder, next week we will talk with Justin Leonard, the head boys cross-country coach at South Lake Carroll High School. He will join us to talk about his team's ascension to the number one rankings at XC Nation. NHSEA.com. So a great show. Hope you enjoyed it. Want to thank Corey back in our studios for engineering everything and getting everything together. Want to remind you that our sponsors, please patronize them. We want to thank XCNation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, Dalamure All-American Wrestling Supply, GTM Sportswear, and they make it all possible, so make sure you get to patronize them and check out their websites. This is Jeff Fisher from Los Angeles, California, saying good night and good sports for the NHSCA Sports Hour. We'll talk to you next week, but don't go away. Coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, High School Football America, as we talk to two legendary coaches. Stan Sexton of Phoebus High School in Virginia. They've won 52 straight games going into this weekend's contest. We'll also chat with Paul Knox of Dorsey High School in Los Angeles, California. Knox has sent over 24 players into the NFL. That's the second most behind Long Beach Poly. And we'll also talk with the America's top running back, Jonathan Gray. He may be, before it's all said and done, the number one rusher all time. That and more coming up on High School Football America at 7 o'clock. This is Jeff Fisher. Good night. We'll talk to you next week.